Life First Podcast. Get with it or get forgotten.
Welcome all you lifers out there. It's MMA Mondays done on a Sunday here again. Took a little break. I had to go to PR to handle some family matters. But I'm glad I'm back. I'm glad we had some UFC fights. Of course, we got Mikey C here. Our boy Tony Clark back in the building. Ooh. And then a new guest today, Senor Lindell. Am I saying that correctly?
Yes, sir. You are.
So, and of course, Kevin comes in making a quick cameo. because there it is with the shimmy.
Hey, he has clothes on this time.
This is true. This is true. Last time we got a little nip slip and a little bit of weenus action, a little elbow in there.
A little bit of side ball.
I just saw all of that.
Yeah. Word. Fellas, 251 was last night. Pretty damn good card, man. If I say so myself, I think obviously there were some decisions that I'm sure we're going to touch on that went against, I think, what most of us thought when it came to that Holloway and Volkanovski fight. But man, there were some good fights. Me and Tony were just talking about that first fight with Dave.
Davey Grant.
I mean,
wow.
Great way to start the
cracking. They were getting after it immediately. I love Davey Grant. I watched him on the, I believe it was Ultimate Fighter.
Or Contender?
No, I'm pretty sure it's Ultimate Fighter.
It was Ultimate Fighter. Okay.
Yeah, because he was out for a long time after that because I think he got injured or something like that. But I've been rooting for him for a long time, so I was happy that he got the win. And that was a hell of a fight though. They were after it against each other for sure.
Like I was saying before, man, he had to come up, you know, overcome some adversity after getting dropped. And,
right.
You know, you can lose a little bit of morale, I guess. And he stayed with it. And I forgot the guy's name that he was fighting against. But
yeah, I was actually trying to pull it up. Like,
but even he stayed in the pocket with him. Like, he wasn't trying to back down. And unfortunately, he ended up paying.
He shouldn't be upset though, because like he was doing good when they were having the pocket exchanges. So like, you know, you just got the bad end of it.
Exactly. Mikey, what did you think? Did you get to catch that first prelim?
That was a terrible knockout. Was that left hook? I believe.
David
Grant.
He kept going hook to the body, and then the last one he went like hook to the head. The guy blocked it with the shoulder, and then he just killed it with the other.
Yep.
And
the other guy's name was Martin Day, a little bit newer, I believe, too. I don't know too much.
Yeah, I think probably his debut, I would assume, right?
And you know what?
I think they did say it was a debut, right?
I think so.
Martin Day,
I was telling Mikey, he wasn't moving. He reminds me of a local fighter, Alon Cruz, but Alon moves his head a lot better. And Day was not moving his head at all. He's explosive in spots. He's not like, you know, he's not like Volkanovski or Max that are just super explosive all the time. He's explosive in the spot. So if you're just going to kind of just be throwing punches or kicks to just sting and not knock out, you got to have a lot of head movement. And I was telling Mike, we were playing the game watching, I was telling Mike, I was like, a right hand is going to get him out of there. And it didn't knock him out, but it set him up for that left hook.
Mm-hmm.
Set him up for that left hook.
It seemed like he was kind of like, that was his thing. Like, he didn't care to move his head either. Like, he was just going to push forward.
Mm-hmm. He didn't think he could get hurt, and that's a big mistake with a lot of fighters nowadays.
Yep.
So yeah, that left hand,
I think they said this was the now holds the record for longest card that they've had.
Was it?
Oh yeah,
because of all the decisions.
Who was it that had the two nut checks that they had? It basically was like 10 minutes. With the Russian, it was
Roman Bagatov and Leonardo Santos.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was a rough fight to see for a bit. Just like, oh man. Well, and a guy that took legitimately his 5 minutes was like, I'm gonna take my time because he wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, my thing is, okay, on that, I know we're talking about in line, but like, just on that, like, if you get low blowed, do you think you should take the 5 minutes?
Of course.
Or do you just, but like, who does though? Like, everyone always gets pressured back into starting the fight sooner. Yep. Okay.
I think a lot of it is like, it's hit or miss, right? Like, if the momentum's going your way, a lot of times they'll kind of bite the bullet. he wasn't. Mm-hmm. The momentum was not swinging for him. He was kind of getting a little bit battered and pushed up against the fence and just kind of getting manhandled. And so I think he was like, bro, I'm going to take my time. And Goddard.
Yeah, he was definitely Goddard tired when he took the
Goddard kind of gave him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Goddard gave him the time that he needed and even like instructed Roman, whatever his the Russian.
Roman Bogatov.
Exactly. you know, he tried to let him know, like, hey, you know, keep it up. And even with the second, I mean, he didn't even take a point, right? He hit him twice.
Right, he didn't take a point for anything until the very end when he hit him with that legal knee.
Yes. Yep. So, I mean, you take that if the momentum isn't going your way, if you're feeling a little gassed, you might as well. But you're right. In the past, I've noticed it seems like, and I don't know if maybe refs kind of feel like, oh, that wasn't that bad of a shot. You know, I think maybe there's levels to it where maybe they mm-hmm. feel like they can pressure him. But it seemed like at least with him, he kind of gave him all the time that he needed. So
yeah.
But what else? Let's see. Anything else stand out in the prelims and undercard? I'm trying to remember. I was running around with my daughter.
Like you said earlier, the Carol Rosa Vanessa Mello fight was good.
Was they good. Really yeah. Vulcan against
that was someone I did research on because I was like, okay, wow, Ozdemir's on the card, and I was like, hey, who's he fighting though? I thought. I mean, it's a debuter, so I was like, okay, they're feeding a brand new guy. I looked him up.
I heard he's had.
At the time he was 26-3. Yeah. He had more fights than Volkan. And I was like, dude, this guy could be a problem. You know, like I think he was on like a 5 or 6 win streak.
Yeah, I think they have him on like a 9 fight finishing streak right now or something.
I was just like, okay, this guy is something else. And he was getting cocky against Volkan. He was like,
yeah. Well, he reminded me of Walker. Johnny Walker.
Yeah, like I want to see that fight.
That's what I said too. But
he shouldn't fight Walker. Either one of those two fighters, I want to see against Walker.
Well, I thought Volkan would be a good fight for John Jones. I don't know if he climbed back up, but we just never got to see it. I guess. This guy's a problem.
I mean, but granted, I think Volkan also took a step back, thinking himself getting a little cocky, thinking I don't need to. Like he was tagging him. He was doing
his thing. Yeah. He was doing good until he got finished.
Exactly.
He was beautiful finish too.
But old boy was putting his face, like daring him to hit him. He's like, hit me. Mm-hmm. I'm good.
He was trying to make sure everybody remembered his name after this card.
That was for me knockout of the night. Better than the David Grant knockout.
That one was.
I mean, it was a good like that. He hit him with like a jab straight or something like that.
He hit him with that head kick. Killed him. He hit him with that head kick, and after that head kick, it was just downhill from there.
Yeah,
but that's what stood out to me. How do I pronounce his name? Jiří Prozacka.
Yeah, I'm gonna stick with Prozacka. Yeah, from the Czech Republic, right?
Correct. Yeah. Denisa is his name.
Does he have a nickname? Because that'd probably be easier.
Denisa.
Not calling his Nisa.
How old is he?
He's 27. That's scary. 29.
That's crazy. Dude, to me personally, I thought dude looked huge. I was he's tall as shit. He's muscular, like especially, and he was 205, which is crazy to me.
Probably get Glover next. Glover set him back down or something.
No. Thiago Santos is gonna kill Glover first, and then.
Oh, that's right. No, Thiago Santos is getting tapped out. I mean, you gotta remember that
he killed that man.
Yeah, Marietta was a middleweight, and he handed out a few losses.
Maheta.
He was a middleweight, and he handed out a few
losses. I know. He moved up and then got more power. He's Anthony Johnson.
True. And he did fight on a bum knee, so give him credit. Yeah.
But I'm excited, though.
I just watched the Gegard Mousasi and Maheta fight.
Oh, yeah.
Mousasi's something special, man. They should have never let him
go. And he's actually like pound for pound special because he'll fight anybody. He don't give a fuck. Weight class. Mm-mm. Like anybody who's fought Mark Hunt and fucking all the way down, like you're a beast.
He's got 45. He's got like 45 plus wins in MMA. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Only select.
Highlight reel is crazy.
Like few got that shit.
Moving on. Is there any other fights that you guys
Makwan's finished quick. He got the anaconda choke. It was like very early on in the fight, and then he choked him in his sleep, and then he like helped him like lifted his feet up backwards to get the blood flow back to his head.
I think he thought he was good, and then like next thing I know, the ref is pulling him off, and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, ugh.
No, he was out. It felt like he was out for a little bit longer than the ref should have let him be choked for.
I think he was going to tap and then
probably like, went to sleep in the transition. Yeah.
Who was the referee for that fight?
I can't remember. They had a couple new refs out there too, though.
Yeah, they seem to be out for blood because there was a couple times where I'm like, okay, this fight.
They were definitely if he dies, he dies out there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I would hate to be a fighter in that situation, but
yeah, rest in peace, Jose Aldo.
We're gonna get to that.
We will. I don't want to go to it.
Right? So lean into the main card.
Yeah.
Right, lean into the main card. Amanda Ribas, and Paige VanZant, two dimey dimes fighting each other. Mm-hmm. I think we all kind of figured Amanda was gonna come out with the dub.
Yeah,
I'll be honest. I mean, I was hoping Paige would give her more of a fight just to at least look somewhat impressive, considering she's going to be the free agent.
She was trying to leave and be free agent. Yeah, right. So now you get to hold that L and take a hike.
And I felt like she didn't look horrible. It's just Amanda's just way better. And so,
she didn't look horrible, but Amanda's grappling was better than hers. And they didn't really strike because it was clinched up almost immediately.
Yeah.
And then, obviously. We all know what happened after that.
Yeah.
Lindell, what did you think of that fight?
You know, me and Mikey talked a little bit about her. You know, I think MMA is done for her. I think, you know, she's got a great story that she can tell that people can be inspired by with everything she's been through. She's kind of like, you know, super sage to me. Like, you know, they have a pretty face, they have everything you need, but in the octagon, it just doesn't click for them.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't think she should be in there, especially not in the UFC.
I think she said, I saw something where she said she wanted to go to the WWE maybe in the future. That might be something she could go towards.
I think the last one she's had was Rachel Ostovich.
Yeah.
I think that was her last
another dimey dime matchup.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I feel like she you know, who's to say what kind of training she's had lately with everything, because I believe she trains out of Oregon, right? Portland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
VanZant, sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
She trains out of Oregon,
right? She left Alpha Male.
Yeah. She moved back to Portland with the Austin Vanderbilt.
I didn't know where she went. Okay.
Sorry. I mean, you know, who's to say what kind of training maybe she was getting? I agree, Lindell. I think she should be done. Mm-hmm. I think someone's going to pay her, though. I feel like somebody like a 1FC.
Nobody's paying her.
I don't think they're going to break the bank to pay her, but I think
I think she ends up at Bellator on a card with Austin, and they try to promote the VanZant.
She's a VanZant card, I guess.
I know, but like, she's not changing her name. She's Paige VanZant. She's not changing her name.
Yeah.
He can change his name to fucking Austin VanZant.
He's actually not that bad either. He's actually
He's really not. He's really not. People just hate him because he's with Paige.
Yeah, of course. No, he's supposedly jealous. He's pretty damn good.
He's legit. Yeah.
So since, you know, getting away from Paige, what did we think about Amanda now moving up in weight, being a strawweight now?
I know she wants to.
Was this at 25? She
said she wanted to do what she wanted to be like Amanda Nunes. She wants to also win the title here and then also win the title below as well.
Open up. Yeah. She's got a hard road ahead of her. I mean, if she has to go through Rose, Andrade to get to Wei Li. If you know,
the one thing I will say, at least for Ribas, at least from what I've seen, she's got good striking. She's not afraid to get hit. She'll brawl. She's got good grappling. Again, like you really submit Dern, you know, slouch, and she just submit Paige too. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think she's game everywhere. Obviously, we got to see her against some more like upper level, because she was getting the kind of like lower side right now. Yeah. We've got to get some of the more killers of the division. And then, but I think it's not impossible.
Do you think she fights Andrade next?
Step up and
she come. Could. She
I'm
could.
Trying to think. I mean, because she was seven, right? Where was Amanda ranked at?
I'll tell you right now.
I'm not sure.
I thought they gave her like a pretty high ranking, considering
she's had some I believe. So she hasn't been too active.
I don't see her rank. Hold on.
She wasn't ranked.
She may have been unranked. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think she's unranked. Yeah. I don't see it here.
Wow. I thought I saw a number by her name last night.
I can't imagine them giving Paige a ranked fighter though, with the way she looks
on the way out.
Yeah. Well, I figured that they would have to, because you know how the UFC does. You're going to be a free agent. Oh, well, we're going to give you somebody who we know most likely is going to beat you, so we could diminish your credibility a little bit. So, and I figured that way, if anything, it's a kind of a win-win. It's a win for the UFC because if what they expect happens, which is what ended up happening, then Paige most likely isn't going to get a crazy contract. If Paige happens to win, then for Paige's sake, since she took that fight, that brings up her stock even more if she can beat an actual ranked opponent. But
yeah,
if she wasn't, I mean, it is what it is.
I just want to say where women's MMA has come from the days of Strikeforce with what's the girl? Who's the actress? From
Gina Carano.
Yeah, from that point to now, like, imagine Amanda Nunes back then. That it would have been like just the evolution of women's fighting in general is amazing.
I mean, 100%.
Just shout out to them for being warriors and getting in there, doing their thing.
It's crazy.
We talked about that a few podcasts ago, just like how, you know, the Gina Carano's, the Chris Cyborgs, the Ronda Rousey's of the world just started.
Even with Ronda, from Ronda to now, like, Ronda can't touch any of these girls, really, in my opinion.
No. I think she'd still
be she's the thing is fine. With Ronda, she's just a specialist. If you're just a specialist, it's not good enough. It's starting to become not good enough, at least, to just be a specialist. Almost. Obviously, it's not.
There's
not
outliers. Exclusive. You're right, though.
Right, like there could be. He's just mostly a grappler, but he can strike. You have a stylebender, mostly a striker, but you know what I mean. But that's more like the top of the top, though. Too though.
You guys aren't going to like it, but I watched some old Ronda clips. And that girl's got a good clinch. She's got great knees, elbows. She can box at least a decent amount. I think that her last two fights don't paint her justice to what she actually was.
I agree. Like, she was good at what she did. If anything else, she was fantastic at what she did.
I won't say never, but just to have the mystique and the interest that Ronda had when she fought, we'll never see that again. Like, Nunes is a different type of
movie. Right. Well, right. Like, she's more like
in the media, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ronda was very brash and open.
Yeah.
Nunes is humble and like just great. She's basically like a GSP to me.
Yeah, I can see that.
Well, I mean, and I think you're right. I think she definitely would be in the top 10. It's just she wouldn't be able to beat any of the top five caliber fighters that are out there. But that's not the thing. Like, you know,
who's the top five at bantamweight right now? Do you know?
I got it right here. Give me 1 second. For the men's or for the women's?
For the women's.
While you pull that up, Lindell, the only people that I think that she can't beat are Durandamy, Nunes, and that weight class.
She could beat Durandamy, though. Like, Durandamy had zero ground game versus Nunes.
True.
She couldn't stop any takedown.
So I can't say that name, but she's one. Holly Holm is two. Aspen Ladd is three. Juliana Pena is four, and Raquel Pennington is five.
So y'all gonna tell me she can't beat Raquel Pennington and Julia Pena for sure? At least those two for sure.
Yeah. He's lost the job with the UFC.
Yeah.
I mean, but when Ronda came to the UFC from Strikeforce,
she beat everybody.
Yeah, but striking amongst the women, even Cyborg wasn't really like an elite striker. She was just rough and brutal. Like, Gina Carano is probably one of the more technical strikers they had. And so Ronda came up during that time. She didn't have to, her striking didn't have to be that good. You fast forward now a number of years, and these girls are dropping bombs, punches, and 100%. Punches.
Yeah.
Rose is the epitome of like striking for that class.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Rose and probably Valentina are like the like
JJ too. But like Rose last night, she's like
her fucking everything. It was perfect. Like I was watching it with my friend Amon Cosme. He's he just turned pro and won his pro debut, and he signed with First Round Management. He came over and watched the fights with me, and he was just in awe. Like, and he's like I could just watch her feet like just move all day. Like it was beautiful.
Think about it. It's that was Trevor Whitman and Pat Barry.
Yeah, I loved hearing Pat Barry in the corner too. He was killing it.
He has a chance to extend his career through his fiance. Yeah. I will say Pat Barry is very talented, but he was on the end of a lot of bad knockouts.
Oh, 100%. Well, again, this is a guy who refused to cut down too, though. Like, you want to fight at heavyweight, that's cool, but you're a small guy.
And I mean, hey, he wasn't scared to fight anybody, so.
Oh, right. You'll never say he was afraid to fight anybody, which for sure.
Unfortunately, cost him sometimes, but hey, fuck.
I mean,
I think it's really led on. But speaking on Rose and Pat Barry and that, and in that whole training camp, let's move on to the next fight, which was Rose Namajunas versus Julia Andrade for two.
Jessica
Andrade, Julia. Just want to give her Julia. You know, she looks like a Julia, so Jessica. What did we think? Did we agree with the decision? Did we feel Rose?
Oh, Rose, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. 2-1. Obviously, she lost the third. Mm-hmm. If there was a fourth and fifth, who knows how that would have went? I could have seen her getting finished there. She was bleeding bad. Like, once Andrade started putting the hands on, like that. I know, but, like, I ain't never seen Rose look like that after a fight.
Mm-mm. Well, she – see, her left eye. So, yeah, Jessica – so Jessica's head movements, she kept doing the bob and weave, and I almost feel like this is her game plan.
I hated it.
I didn't watch the post-fight press conference, so I don't know what she said her game plan was. The game plan seemed like she was just going to try to kind of wear Rose out. She knew Rose was going to piece her up like she did the first fight. Yeah. And she knew if she couldn't get inside, she's like, I'm going to keep bobbing and weaving. And then after a while, those bob and weaves are going to turn into these wild hooks and crosses that she started catching Rose with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was almost like Rose, like when Rose got hit with those first two, she's like, okay, I'm good. And then by the end of that second round, like, I was like, uh-oh, Rose might be in trouble going into the third. And sure enough, it seemed like
I was just going to say, all the footwork, you know, like, it is nice to watch, but you also got to have that gas tank. She ain't fought a long time. You moving all the time, dodging in and out. As you slow down, I can start clipping you more. Like, the shit I was doing before, you might have been able to read, and then, like, now, as you get more tired,
yeah,
she starts landing more.
Well, and I think we can agree Andrade is, like, the stronger fighter.
Without a doubt. Yeah, she's definitely the hardest hitter. All it
takes is for her to catch you a couple times.
She's like a baby Brazilian Tyson. That's what she looks like.
She's girl John Lineker.
Like a mini Wanderlei.
He's got, like, the Aldo back, bro. It's just, like, defined. It's like, damn, girl.
Yeah.
Fuck with her, man.
If she was a little bit taller and she had more of a reach, she would be – I think she would have an easier time with Rose, but she would be a little bit more dangerous. But I think her height,
for sure, yeah,
and the fact that people can range her,
because she set up her strikes with a jab or mixed it up more. I felt like there was a spam of hooks and overhands.
Right, no jabs. She's pulling the whole Cody Garbrandt.
Straight punches came in first. Yeah, Cody Garbrandt, John Lineker. That's the most accurate.
What's a jab? I just throw hooks. Spam
And this being mentioned, it's in multiple fights. Like, the jab is like a lost art right now in MMA for some reason. It opens the door to so many opportunities. But
100%.
What was really cool about those two girl fights is that one, Jenny loves watching like female fights, like the women's fights, and she had a friend over, and she was spending time with her friend. They were watching like some type of marriage reality TV show on the couch. But I was like, I came out, I'm like, you know, pages up. She's like, okay. And they, like, brought her friend, and that was, like, her friend's first time watching MMA, armbar. So I was like, okay, that's cool.
That's awesome.
And he prefaced it if it's a good fight, and soon, you know? So that happened. And then I came back out. They sat back down, like, you know, 20 minutes later or whatever. I was like, hey, Rose is up. So they were excited. They both came in, and then they just watched the whole thing. I got to, like, break down, like, this is how he went around. Look at Rose's striking. It was just beautiful.
And we
talked about the backstory of Rose. She literally hasn't fought since the first time they fought.
If if there was a card to kind of introduce casual people, the people who've never really seen MMA before, this is definitely a good card for anybody.
Still the main event.
First four fights, right? Prelims and first four fights.
Right?
But the only people tuned in is the main event, which is the crazy part. We'll get to that.
Yeah. What do we think? So does Rose get Weili right away, do we think? Or
she Weili kind of called her out. She said, let's go after the fight in Rose's comments. So maybe that's next. Right? Huh?
It could be how you read it. Like, let's go or let's go.
Well, she like congratulated her first. I mean, that's true. But right now it seems like it's Zhang and Rose. And most then you could do Andrade and Joanna rematch, maybe?
Joanna looked good against Zhang Weili.
She did, 100%. But like, I don't know, like, you know, how they pair those off.
I mean, I could see them doing that just for namesake, to be like, hey, we need to make another.
Oh, Suarez, Tatiana Suarez, ranked number 3 right now. She needs a fight. So
Suarez is good.
Now, if they did do both those fights, they could do it on the same card the way that they did the Sugar Sean card. Build up like this tournament feel
for the weight class.
So Lindell, since you haven't been with us since we've talked about those fights, how did you like that card in itself, kind of setting up the bantamweight division, kind of knowing, you know, essentially whoever won between Corey and Al was going to fight most likely the winner of Peter Yan and Aldo?
I think it's something that the UFC needs to do more, because there's so many fighters. And for a while, I remember people were starting to complain because they were throwing so many cards out, you know, when they were with Fox. And I remember thinking, like, I don't know who this guy is, and you have to do research on some of these people. Well, now you start having fighters, you know, more recognizable faces and stories to tell. It just makes it more exciting. It's going to build more fan attraction. These fighters are going to get, you know, bigger following, more money for them, which they all deserve. I like the way it's set up. Like, I can't wait to, like, with the women's division, I can't wait to see what happens next with Rose. Never mind that she's one of my favorite fighters, but I can't wait to see what happens with her or Jessica or Zhang Weili or Joanna, even though she had that big hematoma. Good God. But I can't wait to see what happens now. And you know, 3 years ago, that wasn't necessarily the case with MMA. It was like, oh, there's another UFC fight card. And unless you're a UFC fan, I don't really think there was a lot of excitement like it is now.
Gotcha. I agree. So speaking of going back to Rose, do we think she can win a fight against Weili the way she kind of got pieced up against Andrade here?
Weili's tough.
Because Weili's – I feel like Weili's got the strength of Andrade.
If she faded against Andrade, if she fades against Zhang will finish her.
We forget
that Rose went 5 with JJ too, and then when I don't know how many fights Weili had in championship rounds, but I know that Joanna's had like five or six. So the experience probably could have exhausted Weili more than Rose could have, and then, you know, maybe given the circumstances. I mean, I know that I think Rose has the cardio to go 5, and I'm happy she's got her mental right, because I feel like she's special for the division. I'd like to see her continue to go. I'm sure she's relatively young, right? I don't know too much about Weili besides her devastating, you know, finish of Andrade and then her war with JJ. That's all I know. I don't know too much about her. She's a good record.
To me, they're similar. Obviously, Zhang has more power. The difference in that fight would be, like you said, with her endurance. Rose is just sharper than Zhang Weili is. And I think even though Zhang is super tough, I think if Rose can manage to stay sharp for, you know, all 5 rounds, that she could take it by decision. I don't know if she can knock her out, but I definitely think she could, you know, if it goes 5, take it by decision.
I think Weili wins that fight, but I think if Rose does, it's by a 5-round decision. I think the issue will be if Weili can keep tagging her with those power shots, similar to Andrade, which it won't be, because she's going to set hers up with her jab. With a nice stiff jab and a straight down middle.
Zhang reminds me of a good fusion of Andrade and like Joanna, where she'll throw power, but she's also got the volume for it. She's got the cardio for it, so she can keep throwing it if she needs to. Yeah. Kind of style.
But I I think we can agree, though, it's going to be a hell of a fight.
Without a doubt.
It's going to be a hell. That thing needs to be on a proper card. They better not fucking bullshit that fight. Put it on a proper card because people need to watch that.
No, like, I hope it's not like fucking in China or something. No offense.
I mean, no. I don't know when's going to be the next time the UFC goes to China.
Obviously. I just mean in general, though. Like,
for real, though, like with everything that's happened with this pandemic, I think it's going to be rough to take a card up there until things really, really, really settle down, honestly. Yeah. And not only that, but they got Fight Island, so they ain't going nowhere.
They don't even travel anywhere.
Like,
got to think that going into – sorry to cut you off.
No, you're good.
Going into that third round, I thought it was 2-0 Rose easily. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to point out to Jenny and Blanca, I was like, I mean, depending how it goes here, you're going to see how either Rose is going to come out conservative, which she did, and then Jessica's corners, in between corners, they're going to be like, or in between rounds, they're going to be like, you're going to have to come out and get a finish, which put a different pace, which looked like the same pace, but like even more exerting pace in the third round. So that might have been what really pushed Rose's cardio over the edge. Because like she's hunting, you're constantly backpedaling. And then you're getting clipped with some of these big shots. Because I was worried. I was like, oh, God. You can go bad.
No. I think she would have been okay if she didn't get hit with some of those shots. I think some of those shots really drained that gas tank. Because she looked fine in the first, when she first came out of the third, I thought she looked fairly fresh.
I was surprised that she looked so good considering how long she's been off.
Yeah. I mean, I think with Pat Barry, luckily – by her side and him, being obviously her confidant, her husband, I think really helps. I think it was on Josh Thompson and John McCarthy's podcast. They were talking about going back to Paige VanZant, how they're training. They don't know what kind of training camp she might have had, considering it's her husband that's helping her train too. What kind of dynamic that is of your husband maybe trying to show you something and maybe you not being as receptive because it's your husband, where I feel like Pat Barry and Rose have this really great, obviously,
relationship. They've been together for too long. Like,
but the coaching relationship that they have, she really respects him as a coach. I mean, he's really done some innovative stuff that's helped her get better and be more technical. And so it just goes to show, man, just kind of two different aspects of a couple that train together. One, granted, Paige VanZant's husband is still actually fighting and active. Which could also be another thing where he's focusing on himself a little bit as well, where Pat Barry is not worried about that. He's worried about just Rose. So it's good to see kind of that dynamic with them and her be successful because she's still killing the game right now. So, but moving on, leading to the first championship bout, Petr Yan, Jose Aldo. I think we all wanted Jose to win. I believe we all thought Jose.
I wanted him to win.
I believe I did. But
I wanted him to win. I knew it was a tough task.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And I mean, but granted, we'd only seen a limited kind of viewing of Petr Yan's kind of potential. Uriah Faber was.
This is the best person he's fought so far.
And prior to this, it was Uriah Faber. That was
Jimmy Rivera, I'd say.
But he's catching Jimmy Rivera like on like that bottom slope though. Like,
I guess accolade wise, it was Uriah Faber.
You're right.
And then that was an old Uriah Faber.
Yeah. So
it was hard for me to figure out where to put him at coming into the fight personally.
Yeah.
And Aldo did fucking fantastic as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I know he lost, but
I wish he
getting beat to death is not his fault as much as...
I think I wished he would have used his leg kicks more in the beginning. I felt like he wasn't. He started to more, but I thought he was going to utilize the leg kicks better.
I felt like he used did. As much as he could.
He did eventually. He did. He got to, but in the beginning he wasn't going... He wasn't. He was trying to just strike with them.
It was just really, honestly, like for me, it was all downhill after I assume his rib got broke. I was just like, it's only a matter of time. Like he was putting up a good poker face for a long time, but I was like, man, if he can like really get back to him to that rib, like
that elbow did not Ray's
is that really a thing?
After that,
as far as I understood it, he broke his rib because he was standing over him, and I think he ground and pounded him like straight here. And then he just curled up immediately. Yeah. And honestly, they could have stopped it there if they wanted to. Like, because he started taking a few shots there, and he was curling up the best he could, but you know what I mean? Like, another ref might have stopped it. Mm-hmm. But he looked even better when he came back after that. And he was doing good, and you know, obviously, until he wasn't.
I thought it was 2-2 going into the fifth. I thought that Aldo had 2 and 3. Aldo looked good. He was
I thought it was at minimum it was 2-2 going into the into the fifth for sure.
That's what I had it.
I thought he was landing inside outside leg kicks on both legs. I'm like, okay, this is the Aldo of late.
He like when he leg kicked him and then Jan's leg had like shot into the air at one point. Yeah. I was like, oh shit, Aldo's back, boy, let's go. Like, And again, he did as the best that I thought he could have possibly looked without actually winning.
True.
And to your point, Tony, I didn't realize how long Aldo's been fighting. Like they showed some of those older WEC clips, and I was like,
that's who got me into MMA.
I started watching
Aldo on WEC.
But wasn't he the first WEC champ too?
Yes.
No.
Featherweight champ. Well, the first
coming over, they inaugurated him as the featherweight champion.
Did he take it from
him? He beat Mike Brown for it, I believe.
In WEC?
Mike Brown had beat Faber for it. He beat Mike Brown for it. And then that other fight, he fought Faber in a title defense.
He fucked Faber up. Wait, this was all in the WEC, right?
That's all WEC.
Yeah. He was the first ever. He was the first ever UFC featherweight champ.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what it was. Okay.
But to see as long as he's been in the game, and you know, ever since the Conor fight, it's just kind of been a roller coaster for him. But I thought he looked great.
He looked better than me, my opinion, better than he's looking. Like obviously, you have boxer Aldo who's been fighting here lately. This was the first time that we got a little bit of Aldo old mixed with Aldo new, and I was perfectly I was happy with it.
He looked good, too. I felt like that fight with Marlon Moraes, when he weighed in, he looked like skin and bones. But then
he looked good at the weigh-in. He looked good in the octagon.
What do you guys think? Do you think that weight cut took a toll on his midsection?
No, I think he broke his
rib. I think Petr Yan is just fucking disgustingly strong.
And I'll say this.
Petr Yan's ground and pound, that shit, brutal. Like, it was like – and, like, I had my sound bar and stuff turned up, and that shit was slapping so fucking hard. I was like, God, jeez, like, yes. I was like, he's really, and I respect it. Like, he's trying to get him the fuck out of there, but you don't want him to go. Like,
listen, you don't want
him to go. I had so much respect, and it sucks because, like, I came out of this fight with probably more respect for Aldo than I did Jan, which isn't right because obviously Jan won, but, like, the shots that Jan was hitting him with, and I was like, damn, I'm surprised you're not tapping the strikes. And everybody was like, he's not going to fucking tap the strikes. Like, I was like, but he's hitting them so fucking hard. Like,
and he was
it was brutal.
And he was under such control. Like, some people, when somebody's wounded and on top, they're just wild trying to hit him with whatever. Mm-hmm. He was so calculated, controlled. You know, he just knew exactly, especially once he knew Jose was hurt to his ribs, he knew exactly when and where to hit him. He just took him down.
I don't know where I had heard it from, but which one of the podcasts, but someone had talked about that apparently they had trained together a while back.
Yeah, they did.
And Jose kind of was getting the better of him, but they were saying, you know, this guy literally came right from the plane, like from the
airport. It's like a young, that's also like a younger Petr Yan when Aldo probably was a fucking, the monster.
And when he was at featherweight, so imagine.
Right. So obviously, even if he did, like, that's not a proper
representation. No. The reason why I mentioned that is because it's like, I could imagine that he kind of, with that, used some of that to fuel some of his training, knowing some of his movement, knowing kind of, because he fought very similar to the Jose Aldo of old, you know. And so I felt like it was pretty cool to kind of see Petr Yan, knowing that, to kind of see him being able to kind of best a legend, essentially, who he trained with, who he was lucky enough to train with. And now he's the guy you got to go through if at 135, if you're
and he can box and he can wrestle. He's got good top game.
Jan and Aldo trained together at one point.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, he flew in to train with them. I don't know for what specific fight or whatever the case is, but yeah. But hopefully that was the kind of the game changer for him that was like, all right, I need to step up even more if I need to.
Do we think? Obviously, Jan defeated Aldo via TKO in the fifth round, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Do we think Aldo fights again?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm just curious in your.
Aspirations are gone though.
Well, it's funny because he had mentioned, remember, that he wasn't going to fight anywhere that wasn't Brazil. But then obviously it's happening. It's a
world title fight. Do that too.
Things have changed. Yeah. And I think, I mean, he just looks so damn good. I don't see
why
Dana White isn't going to be like, let's keep on getting him some good fights. And I mean, and you know, I think he has what it takes to beat Peter Yan. It's just.
Oh, for sure. Like he showed it. Yeah.
He got beat. He got beat. You know, it is what it is. Yeah. But
you can have a close fight and lose and still, you know, have confidence from that.
Do you think? So obviously Aljamain's going to fight Peter now.
You are. Now,
So we'll fight him.
You could do Cody Aldo.
That's
I watched that. You could do Aldo Cruz. I watched that.
I would love to see that. That's a big fight.
That's a huge fight for
true fans. That's a
legend. Man, could you imagine the highlight reels? Like, it'd be amazing.
What do you think? 2010.
What do you think Cody goes?
Beautiful.
What do you think Cody Sanhagen fights next, possibly?
Corey Sanhagen?
Corey, sorry.
Could fight Cody.
His name's today.
Stack of it.
It is. I mean, Corey Sanhagen could fight Aldo. Like, it's you could really mix and match anybody in there.
Right?
You could do anybody. You could do anybody.
There's just too many.
There's so many. I can't even, like.
Now, speaking of Sterling and Jan, who do we think wins that fight?
I personally have Jan.
He just looked at
Sterling's very good, though.
I had some other friends that were very on Sterling, and they said that Sterling's grappling would be the factor. Because if Sterling can get him down, Sterling's a wizard on the ground, and he's a spider. He's all over you. But I personally have Jan, personally.
I have Jan, too. He looked so – he just looked
composed.
He looked composed, crisp.
Yeah.
He didn't seem to, like Jose could phase him. Like even when Jose won 3 and 4, it just seemed like it was Jan's night.
Russian mentality, bro. You know I'm breaking.
Yeah. He wants it. He seems like he wants any and everybody that they put in front of him. Like he wants it. I would think Jan too.
Yeah. One thing I was telling people about Jan before, like as I was watching all his highlights, you know, preparing to watch him fight Aldo, he doesn't gas really. He doesn't overextend. Like he throws everything with intention, but he doesn't go wild. And I was like, the one thing that worried me is like Aldo throws a lot. And if he gasses, like Jan's always going to be there. It doesn't matter who he's fighting. Like he's not going to throw so much to where he gasses himself out and he has good defense. So he's not going to get hurt too bad. And I was like, man, if Jan's there after Aldo, like does Aldo things, like that's going to be trouble. Cause if you start to fade, like Jan's going to be like, all right, now I can pick it up because I haven't wasted any energy, trying to kill you or anything.
Yeah, I agree. I think Jan takes it. I think Jan might knock him out.
If Sterling can't get him down for sure, I could see it, but I don't want to hate on Sterling either. I mean, his hands were phenomenal versus, I believe it was Pedro Munhoz before Sterling? Corey Sanhagen. When he fought Pedro Munhoz.
Munhoz is good.
And Munhoz was like right there too, like for a while.
I'm a Sterling fan. I would like for him to win, I think. Yeah. I like Matt Serra. I like that whole gym. I think it'd be a big win for them. He's got some great training partners. It's just – Jan, I feel like it's just so damn strong. But I also forget, and I'm curious to see what the reach would be on both of them because I know Sterling has a pretty damn long reach.
He's big for the weight class.
I'll admit, I haven't seen a lot of his fights. I just pulled up some of his highlights right now just to get a feel for him. He's explosive.
He's fast.
Like, what are we talking about? Sterling.
He's fast.
Good wrestler, good jiu-jitsu.
And to me, MMA, like the great equalizer is like just explosion. Like, you know, who would have thought that Tyron would have knocked out Robbie like that? But he's explosive. And that, you know, I don't know. I can't wait for that fight. That'd be something.
It's definitely going to be a good fight for sure. It's not an easy fight for either guy.
Mm-mm, no, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
Well, moving on from one championship fight to the next with a little bit of controversy, the Holloway Volkanovski 2. What do we think? Do we agree with the judges? Me personally, I had Holloway winning. I kind of felt like I could see why maybe someone could give it to Volkanovski. I felt like some of the shots that Volkanovski
hit. What rounds?
Just those last rounds.
No.
Four and five.
No. What rounds did Holloway win? You thought he won 1, 2, and 3?
Yeah. And honestly, I felt like he could have. I felt like 4 was kind of up in the air, but I thought Volkanovski was doing more damage when he was connecting.
Right.
When he was hitting him. And I felt like that's why they gave him the rounds. Yeah. Even though they say the takedowns were a thing, that he didn't do anything with those takedowns. So if that's the case,
it definitely helped. But I do think the power differential in strikes after the first 2 rounds was leaning Volkanovski. And that might have been like one of the deciding factors. And again, Volkanovski doesn't really get outstruck either. Like if you hit him, he hits you back. So like it's definitely always going to be like a 1-for-1 type of scenario.
Yeah. Huh? Well, I think Max outstruck him the first 3 rounds though, right?
Yeah, badly.
Yeah, and then in the last 2, he...
Well, I think after he got rocked, like you got to come back from that, obviously.
Yeah.
Try to pull up the stats real quick on the strike stats. Because I remember when they showed going into the 5th round, the strike output, and I was like, oh, well, Max pieced him up quite a bit in the first 2 rounds. And I think round 3 was a little bit closer. And then
round 3 was close.
Round 3 was by like 4 strikes.
Yeah. Obviously, I think he got robbed. I thought if you go back and watch that fight, I thought it was clear as day that he won the first 2 rounds, obviously. And then because Volkanovski didn't do anything with that takedown in the 3rd, I would have given that to Max. And then you get Volkanovski 4 and 5.
But that's judges don't know that. Judges, like, I've always looked at takedowns as, like, how to steal a round. You get 1 or 2.
That's why they shoot for him. That's why they shoot for him late.
Mm-hmm. But you have to be able to do something with those takedowns, which he didn't do anything. That's why Max
not in a judge's eyes, though. If you get the takedown,
no, I get it.
Not checked off for a takedown.
I thought for me what was a bigger factor, which is why I was like, I could see why Volkanovski won, was just the damage that Volkanovski was doing when he was connected.
Yeah. It's the same thing that happened in the first fight, except in a flip-flop kind of order, like where he picked up later. The first fight, he picked up early. The second fight, he picked up later. But the damage differential, the power.
And granted, I thought like the leg kicks, as much as he was beating up that leg, didn't affect Holloway. Go ahead. No, I'm waiting for you.
So I pulled up the strike stat. Here's something surprising because I didn't total it all. I didn't see the total numbers. I think I looked away from the screen because I saw Max at 1. Volkanovski outlanded him by 28 shots.
Yeah, he was fighting like a champion in the sense of John Jones when he fought Alexander Gustin in the first fight. Uh-huh. Alexander Gustin was doing a lot of damage to him, but what John Jones was doing, picking him, throwing like just little shots in there to make sure that the numbers were still good in his favor if you have a judge watching and you're over here tallying strikes landed, because obviously we don't tally damage. And if I outstruck you, I outstruck you on paper, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought, me personally, I thought Max could have won it. I did not think it was a robbery. I thought it was a close fight. Uh-huh. I could definitely see how they gave it to Volkanovski. He was pressuring and doing more damage in the later round. Had a couple of takedowns regardless if they were irrelevant takedowns. He did get them and even, you know, got that one that they both fought for at the very end and then got that one as well in the 5th round. I could see how he edged it. I don't understand again, just my opinion, I don't see where people get the robbery thing from. Like, it was clearly a close fight. Like, Max just dominated the first 2 rounds.
Uh-huh. Maybe the robbery coming from, I wanted to see a 3rd fight, and I wanted to see 1-1.
Right.
Third fight. So maybe that's where robbery comes from in my mind. I've
seen worse robberies.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
For sure.
Definitely in boxing, too. My goodness.
Mikey, what'd you think?
I thought easy Max first two rounds, and he was dropping them. I was just like, geez, wow. You know, because the big improvements I saw in Max Holloway, which I honestly, I love Max, but I didn't think that he was going to be able to make those adjustments.
Agreed.
In 6-7 months.
With no training. Zoom training.
Yeah, with COVID and everything.
Zoom training? I don't believe that shit, though.
I believe it. He's not trying to bring COVID back to his family. He ain't risking it.
Good point. And I kind of get that. But at the same token, he was doing spinning kicks, head kicks, his feints and fakes were perfect.
Ooh, he hasn't
thrown spinning kicks since he fought, I think, Seaver or maybe Oliveira. That used to be his specialty. He had started throwing them a lot, and then he just quit throwing them all together, and I missed him. And then he threw that shit, and I was like, oh, shit. First Aldo's bringing back leg kicks, fucking all the way brought back. I was like, it's fucking like retro night out here.
Mini blast from the past, yeah. But I thought that he had the first two rounds. The way I saw it, first off, Volkanovski, if I remember correctly, didn't really wrestle in the first fight, at least not as much.
No, he just struck and leg-kicked him in the first fight.
So it looked to me that it was a little bit of frustration. He was trying to mix it up, you know, keep Max guessing and get his offense going, or just try to score points, which people will do. So I just thought that it was a switch up on his part. But I don't think he took the last three rounds.
My thing is, it felt like everything Max did in those first two rounds, he couldn't do after those first two rounds. The success he had was gone after the first two rounds. Like, Volkanovski started making the right adjustments to not get hit with the things he was getting hit with. Again, to me, it was just a close fight. Like, I think that's why.
No, I agree. And I think the power also for that Max had in those first two rounds weren't there in those later rounds. He was still hitting them with those volume punches.
But that wasn't doing any.
He said it himself. He's like, the reason why I'm a volume guy is because I don't have the power that these guys have.
John Jones.
And so I got to hit you with a shit ton of shots, man.
Yeah. Or like a Yoani and Jacek. Yoani and Jacek isn't out here one punch knock people out. Fine, I'll hit you 100 times. We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
But I feel like it was a good fight, though, overall. I like the fight.
100%. I hate that there's, like, you know, so much hate out there after it. And not that it's not deserved or is deserved or whatever. That's just all opinions. But it was just a good fight. Like, they, you know.
I will say, I watched the Weighing In podcast with Big John, and he was one of the guys that actually created the rules for the UFC. And he believes it was a huge robbery, that these judges just don't know what it is. Yeah. I didn't agree, but
people were messaging me on Instagram and stuff like that. Like, that's fucking ridiculous. Like, that was such a bull. And I joke about it as well, but like at the same time, as I was watching it, again,
I felt the argument could definitely be made. If the argument can be made why this guy won, then it wasn't a robbery.
Right.
You know? So
perfect.
I just think the drops, that was the biggest part. Like, because Max dropped him in the beginning, it's like Romero Whitaker, too. Whitaker dropped and obviously it was close not the same. Like Romero was close to killing Whitaker. Like but obviously Max did drop him. But you get those drops, and then – but, like, even Romero didn't get the same kind of pushback on his side, and he almost killed Whitaker. And, you know, like, I know Max got the drops, but it wasn't like – he still came back like he wasn't even dropped in those third, fourth, and fifth rounds, and he was, like, you know, ready to fight. So.
Yeah. He also gave Whitaker a round. That first round, he literally just stood there.
Yeah. No, he's waiting, plotting. Weird. Waiting to see
with that Cuban missile, bro.
No. He just, that's the thing, though. But that's how Yoel fights everybody. He waits until he sees the thing that he wants, and then that's when he strikes.
Well, speaking of explosiveness, that's the motherfucker that's got just nuclear power coming after you, bro. Well, I mean, where does Max go from here? Who do you think he fights? Do you think a T-City rematch if the Korean Zombie falls through?
I know Korean Zombie wants Volkanovski.
Yes.
Obviously.
it's like, bro, fight King City. You gotta fight this man too. He's like, he's saying he can't leave Korea.
Do we know who the top like five contenders are?
I think it's
Qatar. I'm on it.
It's gotta be Max still. It'll be Max
and Max Ortega. Korean Zombie, Rodriguez, maybe Zabit's up there too.
Yair, and Zabit.
Zabit, yep.
So you could do Max Yair, Max Zabit.
Yair's like gonna either get a one title of those, shot, no matter what. Yair's gonna get a title shot one day.
I don't know. I feel like Korean Zombie, though that does sound stupid coming out of my mouth. For some reason, I feel like Korean Zombie's ahead of him, even though I know he finished Korean Zombie.
He should have.
I know. He hasn't fought. He fought Stevens twice after that, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think the eye poke stopped in the first one, and he finished even in the second one.
Mm-hmm. Top five is Max, Zabit, Ortega, Korean Zombie, and then Yair.
Perfect. Literally.
So.
Max gets one of them.
Max Zabit, I guess. Yair. Yair. Volkanovski.
Right? You don't think Zabit? Who's ranked higher? Zabit, no?
Zabit's number two.
So Zabit, there's no way. So you think they do Zabit Volkanovski right now though?
Yeah, they have to. If you're going down the line, you gotta give it to number two, no?
I guess.
I would say give it to Zabit, right? Give Holloway.
Aldo Yair then.
Give Holloway Yair.
I mean,
to allow him to kind of move up. Korean Zombie apparently isn't going to be leaving Korea anytime soon. So they're not letting him.
He's also supposedly.
I know that he has the contract for Ortega,
mm-hmm.
but obviously he's not going to sign it if he can't leave.
Exactly. So and then at that point, it's I mean, they can do. I'm sorry.
Mike has said something.
Yeah, no, Mikey, what are you saying?
It happened. I'm sorry. But if someone came up and slapped Tony, I'd fight that guy right away. There's no way.
I would ask questions. I'd be like, yo, what did he do?
No questions. Slap him, we jump at him.
I'd put the beat down on whoever did it, and then I'd ask Tony, like, so what happened after?
I did say, fuck your mother. I told him. That's the size of the point.
You can't be doing that, bro. You know,
pull my dick out, slap that on his face. That's the point, bro. Right? No, you just can't slap me, okay? I think T-City, I could kind of see, I guess maybe T-City Yair, Zabit, Volkanovski, and then Max. Probably Max takes a break for a while, considering he just came off this fight.
Dude, I would like to see Max.
I don't know. I feel like Max is going to be ready to go soon.
I definitely think he can go.
I just feel like he's going to want to get right back in there because he's going to, especially with the kickback that he got from everybody else, he's going to feel like he's the champion anyway. So he's going to be ready to go immediately, I feel like.
I feel. I'm wondering who this year, though, you think. Because most likely he's going to take, 90? Maybe 60 days?
Yeah, obviously.
So at that time, you could set up maybe a Yair.
I could see Yair maybe. Max.
Have they fought yet?
Who?
Max and Yair?
No.
I want to see that. You think so?
No.
Really?
If Alex Volkanovski can leg kick Max, Yair will fuck Max leg up.
Yair's leg kicks. I'm scared of the 250-pound rugby player who trains in Thailand.
He's 5'2".
He wasn't 250, right? He's 250. He said it on Joe Rogan's podcast. He's like, I think because of my accent, people find – that it's
he's also got that accent down.
Extremely boring.
Right. Wait, which one?
Nice guy, but Volkanovski's got to put some fans in the seat somehow.
He's pretty funny, bro. You don't think he's funny?
I just think for the most part, he's a nice guy. He's not a trash talker. He's not braggadocious. He's not gonna be out here being like super cocky or anything.
You can always
get
what you want, I guess.
Yeah.
That's not his style. He's like, all right, I'll fight whoever.
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah. This is the most I've ever seen him be mad was because Max thought that he only won off of the like leg kicks or whatever in the first fight. That was the most angry. Like, I can't believe he thinks he won, but you know, I'm gonna go out there. Now he was talking his good shit. He's like, I'm gonna go out there and finish him, and then we ain't got to worry about no judges and all this other shit. And then we saw what happened.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's gonna be interesting what happens from here. I mean, they got
for sure, great for sure. So many again, like just like with the bantamweights and so forth and so on. Like, there's so many interesting matchups.
Well,
those are two stacked divisions. That's crazy.
Moving on to another pretty stacked division, but unfortunately, this fight maybe wasn't as exciting as people were hoping. To the main event, Senor Jorge Gamebred Masvidal versus Kamaru, the Nigerian Nightmare Usman.
What more like the Nigerian lullaby? I was ready to go to sleep. I'm like, what? Really?
What did you expect?
I mean, that's my thing.
We all knew that it was going to go like that.
There was no way he was going to stand
out, unless there was a flash knockout.
Kamaru, I just thought, you know, Kobe got Kamaru worked up to the point where Kamaru actually traded with him.
That's one guy.
I know, but that? I just thought that he was going to try to, like, I just thought he was going to actually
all
fight
his other
the man.
Fights have looked, all his other fights have looked exactly like that.
Well,
he grinds people that. Out.
Kamaru's smart. He's not dumb.
Yeah, for
he's
sure.
Not,
no.
Kobe doesn't have the hands that Masvidal has.
For sure. No, he's like, puncher. Masvidal was there all five, like ready to blitz him, blitz him and kill him. Whether or not he was able to land it or not, you know.
My biggest takeaway, if Masvidal has a full 6-week camp, I think he can beat Usman.
Because, same exact result. I'm sorry, boy. Same exact result.
Styles make match.
I agree. I think, though, his takedown defense was really good. He didn't take
any
damage whatsoever. Yeah. The two cuts on his face were from headbutts.
Yeah, him rubbing his head all on him.
Yep.
Shit.
I mean, for me, I think Masvidal with the full training camp, he was training recently with Bo Nickel and a couple of really great wrestlers as well. I think with a full training camp, he can at least – give himself more of an opportunity to keep it standing. Because with this, he didn't have the gas tank to do it. He just did not have any sort of gas tank to keep himself off the fence. And Kamaru knew that. And so he just said, I'm going to push you on the fence. I'm going to keep you here. You're going to carry all my weight. I'm going to rain on your body. I'm going to keep you in the body, which didn't really seem to affect him. But it's points for him.
But it could have been obviously an addition to what slowed him down.
Yeah, that's what drained the gas tank. You could hear those shots too. And that was probably the only thing I'm like, all right, Kamaru, is he surgically breaking him down the best he can with the way that Kamaru fights? But I don't know. I agree with you. I think – I don't know if the result would have been different as far as Kamaru winning, but I definitely think we get a somewhat of a different fight with a 6-week fight camp. But this is – I mean, this is the money that Jorge was probably requesting for and negotiating for. And they probably weren't going to give him this amount of money if he's like, no, I'm fighting for a title. I want 6 weeks. They probably weren't going to give him the same amount of money in 6 weeks. So,
I mean, what's crazy now is, you know, Dana, whether he knows it or not, kind of fucked up letting the press know and letting obviously Masvidal know in doing so that they had the best pay-per-view numbers, even better than Conor and Khabib, on top of the fact that they sold more merchandise in this one fight than they have in all of 2019.
Yeah, and that's
Jorge Masvidal is the new benchmark now.
And that's been his whole point, because he's been saying, you know, we're pulling in all this money. If I'm fighting for a title, I shouldn't be getting paid less than my previous fight for a fake title. Like, that makes no sense. And I agree. It's like if you're in a championship situation where whatever sports, there's a bonus. Like, there should be extra incentives outside of just this title. And so Dana, I think Dana did mess up. But
I mean,
you know, we'll see.
They rectified it. Seems like from what Jorge was saying, he didn't get the guaranteed money he wanted, so you know, to show up and then to fight. But he got the pay-per-view money he wanted. And
$530,000 with pay-per-view money on top ain't too shabby.
Ain't bad. It ain't bad.
I wouldn't want to get hit.
Off 6 days.
Now, would you want to go 25 minutes to Kamaru Usman to get that 100%. money?
100%, I mean, without a doubt. If he's just going to lay on me and stomp my foot, fuck it.
Bro, I was getting to know with those styles. I was like, come on, bro. Like,
I mean, it was just old school. He went with old school with it.
It was Randy Couture.
Yeah. John Jones. You looking like me out here.
I was speaking with Alon about maybe like the restructuring of how scoring's done, because there's so much emphasis on somebody getting a takedown, but there's no points or any type of emphasis on takedown defense.
Nope. Like, right.
If I can best you at your game, which is you taking me down, I get no credit for that at all.
No, you're right. Oh, no, Mike
said he had to go.
Oh, so Alana suggested, like, well, maybe, you know, like for every 3 or 4 takedowns you stuff, maybe that's the equivalent of like a take. I don't know.
Or his stuff could remove them too, man. I mean, at that point, I think by the 3rd or 4th, it was like he had stuffed like 7 out of 8, mm-hmm. you know, takedowns at that point. And I just think eventually, you know, it wore on him. Mm-hmm. But you're right. I mean, they're still using a boxing judging system. Like, they're not a copy box system. Like, it's crazy that with the sport and how long, granted, it's still very new, but you would think that someone would have been like, hey, man, we need to revolutionize this a little bit. And I spoke with Tony and Mikey on one of the other podcasts before that. I've loved how Joe Rogan kind of broke it down when it came to just getting the proper judges, getting, there's so many martial artists, so many coaches that are out there that I guarantee are more than willing to sign up to be a judge, mm-hmm. and have 5, 6, 8 of them, in which if majority of 8 people say, hey, this guy won the fight, guess what? Most likely, especially if they're all experts, yep. That guy fucking won the fight, man. You got guys that are black belt in jiu-jitsu, you know, world-renowned wrestlers, strike boxers, whatever the case is, and say, hey, man, this guy knows what some of these transitions are when it comes to being on the ground, grappling, yep. wrestling, and doing, you know, these guys don't have a fucking clue. Half of these guys that judge, majority of them, have never even been in a fight. Like, they have no fucking clue what's going on. They don't know what it's like to be in there. And mm-hmm. That's something that needs to change. Unfortunately, it's seated with the commissions. And just like, you know, if you want to go to political, like our government, it's hard to get some of these people out of there when they've been in there for so long. So
it's like the MMA Electoral College. You just need to get rid of it, you know, restructure it, do something.
Change it, man. I mean, it's the biggest thing is that because of the UFC system of giving bonuses when you get certain finishes, or, you know, it doesn't help their cause when it's all in the hands of these people who have never experienced a fight a day in their life. Like, how is it that, you know, you're expecting this guy to judge my fight, but he's never thrown one punch? He doesn't know what a proper jab should be looking like when they get, you know, so it's like, how is it we rely on these guys? But, you know, I think going back to the fight, I think Masvidal, I think, man, he showed it was a win-win for him taking this fight, you know. Yeah. He got the contract he had wanted.
Outside of actually getting finished, he had no downside. Like, if he would have got beat, like, if he got dogged like Tyron or something like that, that would have looked worse.
But it could have been, like, 6 days.
No. But, like, if he had got dogged, like, on tape, it would have just looked bad, because that's his highlights and stuff. Because Usman laid on him, foot stomp, shoulder strike, that's nothing. And everybody would just be like, you're a bitch. Like, he only fought you 6 days, and all you did was fucking hold him against the cage, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So I think this was the best-case scenario for him. Again, in my opinion, I just don't think it's just a bad stylistic matchup. I don't think he can beat Usman, even on a full training camp. But I'll always probably side with a wrestler over a striker in a matchup generally, especially somebody of like Usman's caliber.
I think he fought his perfect fight, honestly, man. Especially going with Trevor Whitman out there, rolling.
Oh, for sure, yeah. He never really got in any trouble, like, for the most part, on the feet. Like, him
hit grinding a couple times when he strike with him, and he quickly realized, oh, no, I can't.
You strike with Gaethje or whatever, and that's fine. But, like, obviously, Gaethje's speed different than a Masvidal speed, even though Gaethje obviously is a beast in his own right.
Masvidal just has awkward angles sometimes, though, man. He throws, like, these overhand rights.
I didn't like how much he was using the leg kicks. I was like, that's going to set you up more, because you got to reset and balance yourself before he can shoot in on you. I wanted him to switch to a knee. Mm-hmm. Like you throw the boxing, instead of throwing the leg kick, like, throw, like, have the knee ready for the takedown. throw an uppercut. He can throw any uppercuts. How are you not going to throw uppercuts on a wrestler? That doesn't even make sense to me.
Well, and Kamaru's clinch isn't really that great. Like him.
No, there was a couple times where Kamaru would like reach down at the legs. I was like, you could kill this man right now, and he didn't throw an uppercut or knee, ever. He threw the one like kind of fake joke around knee around the fourth round, but he was nowhere near it.
Near him, yeah.
Two things. One, I do want to give Kamaru credit because with that being said, he did kind of control the distancing like the way you needed to against Jorge.
Yeah.
I think, like I said, I think with 6 weeks, Jorge has more in the gas tank. Does Jorge, is he a little bit more aggressive? Is he that first round Jorge for the first three rounds?
Mm-hmm.
No. And then the other thing is, do you guys think that this hurts the draw of Kamaru in the future? Because I think last night, a lot of people got very fatigued with his style.
More people hate him now than hated him before, for sure.
So do you think people are going to tune in to see his next fight to see who can beat him, or do you think it's going to be kind of like almost like a Mighty Mouse situation where
the numbers will drop dramatically from this fight to that fight, regardless of who's on the co-main or all that other stuff? They will drop if it's just Kamaru headlining, 100%.
I don't think, going back to that, I agree with everything you just said. Especially because the next fight is most likely going to be Gilbert Burns.
He doesn't have a following, though.
But I think I like Gilbert in that fight. After watching him outclass Tyron in every way possible, I like Gilbert. He impressed me in that fight.
To me, he was a better stylistic matchup with
Kamaru
than Jorge was, even on a full camp of Jorge. Gilbert showed literally everything versus Tyron Woodley. Jiu-jitsu, wrestling, kickboxing, clinch striking, everything. Like, didn't give a shit. Hit him with everything, almost submitted him a couple times, almost finished him a couple times. He was hitting with everything. And he was there for all five.
Explosive like, the entire time. He was
And he looked like he was still ready to go.
I think Kamaru is just more powerful, man. I think Kamaru takes that fight.
I think he's a factor too. Smart. Like, he's big.
What happened with Burns? I miss why he got pulled out. What happened?
COVID.
Yeah.
Maybe if he coughs on Kamaru, I don't know.
But you're right. I think his numbers. I mean, granted, look, his numbers already weren't great. That's why Jorge, got into this.
Brought him up. UFC. Yeah.
And he was like, "Listen, man, I need a good. If my dance partner ain't providing, how is it my fault? Why am I getting penalized if he can't provide? You know." I think it's definitely going to affect the numbers. I honestly don't even know if he gets a main event spot the next time. I think
I could see him being the co-main.
And you put
– you throw him on there with like an Izzy Costa, something like that. Yeah.
Yep. I agree.
The Africa Strong
shit. That'd be perfect. That'd be perfect for them. And then if he gets by Burns,
Burns, now we're really in an issue.
Where do we go from there?
Yeah, we're really at an issue there.
Because Masvidal already said he's not fighting Colby. He's like,
but that fight would be awesome.
And that fight would be amazing.
And people would watch it. So like, and Colby's not gonna lay on him. Colby's gonna fucking try to get out of him. Not that that's in his favor. But Colby, the type of dude, like Colby, if Colby was willing to get at it with fucking Robbie Lawler, he'll get out with anybody. Like, he's like that. Kamar's not really like that. Colby is like, as much as people hate him and stuff like that.
No, he's smarter. Yeah. He's a little bit more tactical. He knows.
Yeah.
He knows
but he can, obviously, if he starts to lose, he can wrestle, do whatever he needs to do to win the fight.
I see what you mean. That division's in trouble. If Burns doesn't beat him, that division, like, Damian Maia.
No one's going to pick Edwards over Usman. He already beat him one time. Yeah. No one's picking fucking Neil Magny over Usman.
Where's Wonder Boy in the rankings?
Wonder Boy, at least top 10.
She's number 6 behind Woodley.
He needs to fight somebody, I feel like.
Wonder Boy would be an interesting matchup specifically because he's so good at distance management. Good luck trying to take him down. Like, nobody's been able to be successful at corralling him.
No.
And even if you get close enough, then that's when you get blitzed. That would be interesting, but again, because he's just a striker, if Kamaru Usman can get a hold of him, then we're talking about Kamaru Usman winning.
Didn't Tyron take years off his life though in their fight?
Who?
He rocked him once.
Not to me. He only really clipped him really good like once, when they were on the ground, I think.
Yeah. But I mean, if anything, I think he went for the guillotine. Anthony, I think Pettis took some years off his life because that knockout stiffed him up.
Yeah, that was way worse.
And it was, and actually, was he was fine though. He was fine after that. He was in the hospital. Like, damn, I got caught. Yeah.
And to be fair, he got right. Like, he brawled with was it Luque? That's Thompson fight. After he came back from getting knocked out, Vicente Luque, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
And they brawled.
Ranked number 12.
Yeah, and they brawled, and he don't brawl nobody. So like, he's definitely still like.
He got
there,
it.
I guess.
Yeah, the welterweight division is gonna be hurting because I mean,
I'm telling you.
And you don't really have somebody that's marketable outside of really Jorge. I mean, it would have been Anthony Pettis. It would have been Anthony Pettis maybe a few years ago, but you know he's not.
He would have got mauled by Usman. No.
I mean, Nate Diaz has already made his money. I mean, it's not.
If Kamaru wants to bring the limelight back to the division, he has to finish Gilbert. He has to finish him. He won't.
He won't.
But
no. We're about to get I don't want to say boring. I'm an MMA fan. I don't mind watching somebody wrestle somebody to sleep. That don't really bother me too much. Mm-hmm. We're just gonna get a lull here where Kamaru Usman's out here wrestling everybody to sleep.
Yeah.
If he gets past Burns, that's what it feels like.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting, man. It's going to be rough for Dana to kind of promote that, but he'll piggyback it off somebody else's fight because he's going to have to.
Who do you guys think? Obviously, it's Burns for Kamaru. Who do we say who's for Jorge?
Colby would be great if they
said Colby. Yeah.
If they can figure that out. He made a great point where he was like, listen, man, Colby went 5 rounds, got taken out by this guy, and he had a full camp. He's like, I couldn't get taken out off 6 days, you know.
I'll hear you on that. Granted, but I'll also say
it wasn't the Kobe same fight.
Kobe did way more damage to him too. If we want to be technical about it,
yeah,
he did. He did.
He was winning. Kobe. He was up. He was up 3-1.
Kobe hit to the fifth. Kamaru with some shots, bro.
Yeah, he was up in his fight. Like regardless, if like I'm not like trying to side with Cobra and
yeah.
Like
that, but
he was up in his fight. He did outstrike Kamaru. He did do damage to Kamaru. Yeah, he got finished, but. You did no damage to Kamaru. I mean, he did some damage, but for the most part, you got held up against Cage.
You can give him an opportunity. Yeah.
Jorge hasn't always been a welterweight, has he? My history.
No, he's a lightweight. He's a lightweight. I believe this is like his what? Maybe fifth, sixth fight at welterweight.
Something. Do y'all think? Do you think he goes down and gets back in the other division because the lightweight division is?
He did talk about weight cuts and stuff like that, but I think he was more upset that how big he got because the one thing about moving up was he didn't want to have to kill himself to make weight.
That was the point.
And so I don't think he'll go back down.
It wouldn't be beneficial. It's not impossible. Honestly, it wouldn't be beneficial for him.
It was not impossible, though.
It would be beneficial for the fans, but yeah, I understand for him.
Because for him personally, because there's some killers, and he's gonna have to kill himself. Like he was saying,
oh no, but like those are some fun fights for him though down there
for sure.
Yeah. But,
If they pay him, he'll go down.
Imagine like Jorge fucking Dustin Poirier, like that would be amazing.
That's his buddy. He can't. They will never.
I'm just saying, like
I know.
Obviously, like Jorge.
Jorge.
Him and Gaethje. Him and Gaethje.
Like.
Ferguson, like, Dan Hooker,
like,
any of those guys.
Even Jorge Hooker. Like, I would watch all of those. Like, they're all good scraps.
But I think we've watched Jorge fight anybody at this point.
Right. But, like, obviously, to me, right now at welterweight, it's
– Masvidal.
To me, welterweight, with him now losing to Kamaru, like, I know he's going to get one – he's going to want to try to get one more crack at Kamaru before he makes any kind of decisions, like, maybe about going back down, I think. Because I feel like he himself feels like he's like one away, like if he can get an emphatic finish type of scenario, he could be right back there and then get a full camp to train to fight Kamaru. But, oh man, like the welterweight division is just really sluggish right now, it feels like.
And the sad thing is, like, yeah, Kamaru won, but to me, in kind of the grand scheme of things, the UFC welterweight division kind of lost last night because you needed Masvidal to pull in money to make all the rest of those fights interesting. Right now, I could care less. And, you know, I'm a casual fan. I could care less if I see Colby fight, you know, Leon Edwards or Tyron again or I think the only fight I would want to watch, and that's just for the style clash, would be him versus Stephen Wonderboy. That's really it.
There's that. The Leon Edwards fight would be interesting promotionally, just because the three piece Minnesota came
from and Gilbert Burns, obviously. But I wouldn't
mind
the their best bet. Dana's best bet is drama, bro. It's drama. And Colby is what's gonna bring them.
Him and Colby can coach tough, and that shit would be crazy. Ooh. It would be crazy, and people would love it.
Stupid. That would be a great move if they could actually have that happen. But with the pandemic right now,
I can still see them doing tough inside the Apex if they can get everybody like safely in one spot more so than anything else.
In a bubble.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. You're right, because they don't get any outside interaction.
They do everything, separated anyway. So if you can get everybody healthily tested and brought in to do the Ultimate Fighter, you can do the Ultimate Fighter for nothing because you keep them there anyway. And that's just like – and people would watch the shit out of that.
Yeah.
Like if it's Colby and Jorge. Yes. Like it would sell itself.
I think that's really the best fight. Leon Edwards has a little bit of that drama because of what happened with them.
But nobody cares about Leon.
Kobe's a better story. Yeah. Former teammate. He literally Masvidal brought Kobe in.
Yeah.
You know, it's just in the amount of shit talk. And you're right. I think Kobe will stand up with him more so than
he's definitely more willing than Kamaru.
And either way, it's a great, you know, if Masvidal wins, obviously, I think that gives him clout to go back to Kamaru with the full camp. And if Kobe wins, what a better fight than Kamaru Covington too.
Especially in a scenario where if Kobe could finish Jorge, say he would, but if he did. Mm-hmm.
But if he does? You got
Kobe like, I finished a guy you couldn't even do. You just laid on him, you fucking humping bitch. Bro. Blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah.
The amount of shit that he'll talk if he finishes.
Yeah.
The amount of shit he'll talk to Masvidal and to Kamaru will be on a whole nother level if Kobe wins.
It would be it would be awesome. I would love it because I like drama like that.
Yeah. What's next now? The next big fight now is going to be the trilogy.
There's a fight next week too, though, right? Like Wednesday.
Wednesday.
There's a fight night, no? Right? I know Calvin Kattar is supposed to be fighting Dan Ige. Is that the next fight night?
Dan Ige.
Yeah. Dan Ige.
His last name sounds like a sickness. That's weird to me. That man called Ige last.
Filipino, right? I think.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. I'll be completely honest with you.
Yeah, so fight night 172, Dan Ige versus Calvin Kattar, Tim Elliott, Ryan Bonpa. You got Jimmy Rivera versus Cody Stammen.
Yep.
Stammen, I can't say it. Didn't he just make he just fought recently,
Cody Stammen fought Brian Kelleher.
Like a month ago, right?
Yep.
Like a week ago. Like a couple weeks ago. He beat Kelleher.
Just a month ago, right? Turnaround.
Yeah,
super quick. I mean,
I'm saying like 2 weeks at best. Like, he just fought.
No,
Kelleher did the same thing. Kelleher had just won and he fought immediately. Like next.
Look up when his last fight was. It had to be like a month, maybe 3 weeks,
His last fight was June 6th. So a little over like a month.
Yeah, so a month. Still, that's still.
That's hella quick.
That's hella quick, bro. That's 30 days. So that means he got cleared, though, because that means he only got like 30 days for his clearance or less than that. Because
I mean, he made quick work of that guy.
He didn't take any damage, so good for him. Mm-hmm. That should be an interesting fight night, man. Should be an interesting fight night.
I like any fights I can get at this point.
You guys, I know you, Tony, in particular, Lindell, I don't know if you play the UFC games. You checked out the new trailer?
I do, yeah.
You know, so I don't think I own any of the games, but I played the first two.
Yep.
Played them a lot with my friends. And, it looks a lot better than it was back then. But I don't know. Something about sports games with EA outside of FIFA, it just seems really clunky to me. So I don't think I'll be getting it.
I like, I'll get it only because I play all the UFC games.
Yeah.
My biggest issue is that it feels like they're going back to the animations that they had on, if you played EA MMA, the first MMA game that EA made without the UFC. Okay. They had people from Strikeforce on it. They had a particular animation style that they went with on that game. It feels like they're leaning back that way.
Okay.
Maybe it saves them money or something like that or whatever, but I don't like it. I'm excited that they added in the backyard brawling aspect of it and the kickboxing aspect, because I'm assuming you're going to be able to fight like that online too. That would be fire. Like how they had like bare knuckle mode on Fight Night Champion.
You just know they're going to do a Jean-Claude Van Damme DLC.
Yeah, that's what they said, that they were like basing that Kumite part off of, was the Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Nice.
I'm excited for it. But graphically, it threw me off, because it feels like they're going to go a bit more, at least it looked like it was going to be a bit more arcadey, to where, to me, 3 was closer to a simulation style of a game with, like, footwork and distance and stuff like that, which you had to, like, add into when you played it. But, I mean, we'll see how it goes. I'm surprised the beta isn't out yet, considering the game comes out August 14th.
Oh, wow. Soon.
But they asked everybody to sign up for beta codes. No beta. I sent in my request for the beta. I know several other people that did as well, but there's no beta out, and the game comes out in a month.
It's like a cash grab before the new consoles come out. They're just trying to get it out.
Oh, it's not, because they'll auto upgrade any games. But a lot of the games for Xbox, they'll auto up you to the new console if you bought the game before.
Buy for the regular. Yep.
Yeah, they'll auto up you, which I appreciate it. I was like, that's fine. Yeah,
supposedly the new console games are going to be like $70 instead of $60.
Right. I don't think PlayStation gets that.
PlayStation isn't doing that.
PS4 fan.
Which is fine. Obviously, each console. Each console has their, you know, good.
PlayStation is known for having some of the better.
Exclusive
games for
the
sure.
only thing they have
is for sure, bro.
Hey. We have a urine controller. It's not a booty controller.
You have a trash controller.
Not only trash.
A PlayStation camera. You can use any USB camera on Xbox.
Ooh, it's true.
The operating system on Xbox is way smoother than PlayStation.
We can play on the PC. Some of the Xbox games.
I can plug my keyboard and my mouse up to my Xbox.
I can do the same thing on PS4.
Okay, I didn't know that.
You were just throwing that one out just to see.
PS2, like, Xbox has better women.
I have both consoles. I just don't like the controller or like the party layout for PlayStation. It's just weird. It's clunky. Like Xbox is seamless.
I think you can play PlayStation with an Xbox controller though.
I have a thing for that to play Xbox controller. Yeah.
That's cool.
Y'all should do a show for like the console reveal, like whenever the consoles come out, and do like a
I'll do a breakdown on both of them if anybody wanted to do that, because I'm gonna get both.
Specs wise, I think Xbox is just like a little bit better than PlayStation.
Yeah, it's more powerful.
I think the Xbox is just going to, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the extra power means, because developers have been saying that it's been easier to develop games on the PS4 because of the processor.
I think it's load up times are going to be better on Xbox.
Load up times are going to be seamless, obviously. Yeah.
But PlayStation, I think they're, I don't know if the frame rate's going to be better or by like a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Xbox is going to have the ray tracing.
I'm excited for both, so.
Yeah.
Oh, they're both going to be amazing, man. And the game
are
going to be stupid, bro. You saw the Valhalla trailer? The gameplay?
No, I have not seen the gameplay. They released the gameplay.
Is Valhalla the one with the girls flying, or is that something else?
You could play both. No, you could play as both. It's the same as like all the other, the last two Assassin's Creed, or the last one, I mean, the Greek one, where Odyssey, where you could play as male or female.
I'm excited. Like, obviously.
They featured a woman character, though. That's what they did.
Xbox did horrible with their trying to show their game showcase. PlayStation just absolutely killed them.
Yeah.
And they tried to like have whatever excuse they wanted. But I was like, come on, son. Like, you can't give me indie games. I don't give a fuck about your indie games. Don't. Don't show me Forza again. Show me some fucking fancy shit. I don't want to see
that. Who is Forza every time?
Yeah, every fucking time. I don't give a fuck about that goddamn
game. Right? I don't give a fuck about Forza.
Take that fake ass out of here. I don't give a fuck
about it. Who's excited to play Grand Theft Auto 5 again on another new console?
No, I didn't see a leak. I did see a leak for Grand Theft Auto 6, I'm pretty sure.
Bro.
Yeah, but it won't be coming until at least 2022.
No, I think they said 2021, early 2021.
Really?
You sure, even with the whole COVID thing?
That's true. A lot of stuff got pushed back because of the COVID. Yeah.
But a lot of times these guys can, you can work from home if you make sure.
Yeah, I guess if you're like a debugger or graphic design.
I mean, it's going to be a good time, bro. I'm excited. My next game that I'm going to die by is going to be Cyberpunk.
Good luck. That's never coming out.
Shut your whore mouth. You don't say that.
It's never coming out.
You put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
I am ready for Halo Infinite. That's the only thing I want. I grew up as a Halo player. I wasn't a Call of Duty player.
Podcast, man. We got to do one. Invite me on it so we can talk games for a couple
Kevin,
hours.
Me and Kevin were talking about trying to do a gaming one, so for sure, I'll let y'all
know. Like a fun. Gaming like day, like a game podcast day, maybe like how you do your Sunday MMA thing.
Uh-huh. We can knock it out.
I'd be down if y'all want me. I'd be down.
For sure.
Yeah, it was a pleasure, Lindell, man.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having
me. Glad to always have you guys on, man. For real, man. Appreciate y'all.
I wish my beard was as full as yours, but I
know, right? Every time I see him, he's always like,
I work for Disney, bro. So like, I'm taking advantage because Disney won't ever let me have it this fucking long, bro. Even Marriott wouldn't let me have it this long. So I'm enjoying it while I can. I'm trying to go for the hobo beard, baby. I'm trying to go for that Mazda doll.
Have you trimmed it out? Did you trim it up since last time? I thought it was longer last time.
Nah, bro.
Maybe it's just thicker now.
I brushed it up a little bit, so it's not like looking like craziness spread out.
You gotta pick it out, make it look real long.
You know? Whew, make it look fluffy, shine. But all right, fellas, I'll call it a night. It's a pleasure having y'all.
All right, thanks for having me.
All you lifers out there.
Nice to finally see y'all for a change.
Yeah.
Not just voices anymore.
Yeah. Right? Well, lifers, y'all have a great night. Peace.